Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Peches, and we are 8 lines from the top of daf Peches Amir Aleph Gufa. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasuna Batzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Rufua Shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel. So yesterday we began a new Mishnah, a Mishnah that discussed a rather interesting case. There was a person who sent his young child to a chenveni with a tzloiches, an empty jug, and money with the mandate of purchasing oil. The chenveni took the tzloiches, he filled it with oil, took the money, gave the child change, sent the child back home to his father. On the way home, the child dropped the tzloiches, which broke the tzloiches. The oil spilled all over the place, and to add insult to injury, he even lost the money. The question is the chenveni chayev for technically being poisheya and being goyrim this hezek to the father of the child? Or, being that the father sent the child to the chenveni, presumably he was okay with the chenveni taking the oil and the change, giving it to the child and sending him back home. And we saw in the Mishnah, it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, hachenveni chayev. According to Rabbi Yehuda, hachenveni potter. The Gemara's discussion of this Mishnah focused not on the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding the oil, not on the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding the money, rather on the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding the tzloiches. The Gemara's kasha was that being that the father sent the child with this tzloiches, and this child is a child, and the tzloiches is something that's very vulnerable to falling and breaking, essentially, what the father did was, he was ma'abed this tzloiches midas. An aveda midas is an aveda for which there's no chiyuv hashava. An aveda midas is something that some poskim hold is even hefker. So the Gemara's kasha is, how could you be mechayiv the chenveni? For the tzloiches, wasn't the tzloiches an aveda midas? And the Gemara said, for pshatim, in shitas hachachamim, why it is that the chenveni would be chayiv for the tzloiches. The first pshat that the Gemara mentioned involved a chiddush that Shmuel said. The Gemara now is going to repeat that chiddush and analyze that chiddush, albeit very, very briefly. Says the Gemara, Gufa, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Hanoitel klimin ha'omin, if somebody takes a keli from an artisan, levakroi, and the reason he took it was to inspect it, to see whether he wants to buy it or he doesn't want to buy it. V'nenas b'yadoi, and then while he was holding it, an oinus happened. Chayev d'alach is that this person who picked up the keli is going to be responsible for the damages that occurred, even though they happen by oinus. So this is, of course, a very big chiddush. Meaning, there is an idea that somebody could be chayev for an oinus that happened to somebody else's item. A shoyl is the perfect example of that. A goslin is the next perfect example of that. But that's because a shoyl has kinyan eshela. A goslin has kinyan exela. Hence, right now he's responsible for this item. And if something happens to it, even if it's not related to his negligence, it's an oinus, afal pike, and he's going to be chayev. Shmuel, however, seems to be taking this concept of chayev ba'oinsin and applying it in a way that is a little not so easy to understand. What does Shmuel say? If somebody's in a store, he picks up a keli, maybe I'll buy it, maybe I won't buy it. In fact, he picked it up levakroi. And then an oinus happened, he's going to be chayev. Why would he be chayev? What kinyan did he make when he picked up this item? So clearly, what Shmuel is saying is a very big chiddush, stating that this was Shmuel's halacha. And the Gemara says, Vahani mili, stating that the only time Shmuel said this is the kitzit me. It's only true if the price was already a fixed price. So to the extent that the price is a fixed price, meaning you don't have to negotiate the price, so really all you need to figure out now, is this a good item or is that not a good item? Then if you pick it up, then nenas biyodoy, chayiv, you're going to be chayiv. Now the Rashbam says that this halacha of Shmuel is stated in another place in Shas. It's in Mesechtes Nedarim, Daf Lamed Aleph from the base. And in Mesechtes Nedarim, the Gemara adds another criteria for Shmuel's halacha, and that is we're talking about a davash loikhin koifzin olav, where this is something that everybody's chapping, everybody wants it. So we're dealing with an item that the assumption is that for sure the Lekeach wants this item. He just has to make sure that it's not damaged goods. So he picked it up with the intention of inspecting it. But the point is, it's a davar she loikhin koyftsen alav. In a situation like that, where you even know the price, then when the person picks it up al manas to inspect it, he's going to be chayiv in oitzen. Now, we're not going to go into the lamdas of Shmuel's halacha, but it seems like what Shmuel is saying is that when the person picks it up, at that point, he has a kinyan in it. Just like the shoyl has kinyan shela, hence he's chayiv in oitzen, and just like the gazlan has kinyan zela, hence he's chayiv in oitzen, so too, this person, when he picks it up, has some sort of kinyan in it, even though he didn't buy it yet, but at the same time, he has some sort of kinyan in it, and it's for that reason the halach is he's going to be chayiv in. There was a person, he walked into a butcher shop, he picked up a thigh of flesh. So he picks up a gezunta piece of flesh. As he lifted it, asa parasha, parasha came, mirma mine, and took it away from him. Meaning, he picks up this item, and all of a sudden, an oinus happened, there's a chaptzim, someone comes running in and takes it from him. Also, the kami de Rav Yehmar. See, went to Rav Yehmar, meaning the butcher wanted that this person who had picked up the piece of meat should have to make him whole. I mean, at the end of the day, the parasha took it out of your hand. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I was in a butcher shop. I picked up a piece of meat. I was looking at it. The next thing I know, it was swiped from me. Why should I be responsible? So this case was brought to Rav Yehmar, chayve l'shlum edme, and Rav Yehmar said that he's going to be chayef. Now, why in the world should he be chayef? He never purchased it. And what happened was, even in oinus, the Teretz says that Shmuel's halacha, hanoytel klimen ha'umen levakroi, v'nenas biyadei chayv. And here too, the Gemara mentions the same fine print, and that is v'hani milu hu dekitzit mei. The only time this is true is if it was kitzit mei, there was already a fixed price for this piece of meat. But if you had to negotiate the price, so then you're nowhere near the point of being able to have even this type of kinyan in it, and for sure you're not going to be responsible. Another story. Who gathered? There was a person, da'isi kari the pumnahara. So he brought kari, he brought these melons to pumnahara. That was a place. Also kuliyama, shakul kara kara. And apparently these were very chashuv, these fruit, and the oilam came and they started chopping it. And this person got very overwhelmed. So he shows up, he pitches his little shingle, and he's here to sell merchandise. And the demand is just overwhelming. But the problem is, it was a little bit too overwhelming. And he realized that he doesn't even know who's taking what and how many they took. And how's he even going to get paid? So he got very, very nervous. So Amar Lahu, so this is one of the oldest moves in the book. He gets up and he says, Harei hein muktashim l'shamayim. He says, all of these things, they're mine, right? And I'm making them hekdesh. And all of a sudden, there was a deafening silence in the room. So the Gemara says, also the Kavid Rav Kahana. They went to Rav Kahana and they said, when this person was makdish, these fruit, was it a good hekdesh or was it not a good hekdesh? Amar Lahu, he told him, no. You know why? Ein ada makdish, davar she'ena shalai. Because once these people picked it up, and they picked it up al menas levakros, you have Shmuel's halacha. What Shmuel's halacha? Nenas biyadei chayev. Which means what? It means you have a kinyan in it. If that's the case, meaning if the person who's lifting it has a kinyan, then by definition, the real owner does not have a kinyan anymore. So ain't other makdin shtava she'ena shaloi, and it's for that reason you can't be makdish. But the Gemara says the same fine print. This is simdritinmol. V'hani milihu dekitzi demayu. The only time this is true is if the price was fixed. Avaloi kitzi demayu. But in the event that the price would not have been fixed, b'shus marayu kaimi v'shaper akdish, then it still would have been in the possession of the person that owned this fruit, and the hekdish would have been a valid, legitimate hekdish. Tanu rabbanan, a braisa that's me'inyan le'inyan. If somebody buys a vegetable from the shuk, so the Rashbam says that we're talking about where a chaver is purchasing the yerek from an ama oretz. So le'inyonenu, the chaver was someone that was very careful when it came to the laws of chumas u'maisras. The ama oretz was someone that was chashed when it came to the laws of chumas u'maisras. So a chaver buys a yerek from an ama oretz. Essentially, what he just bought is demai, meaning he has to be suspect that it could be this is really tevil. He's going to have an obligation now to be mafresh chumas u'maisras. Okay, so he wants to buy the urakas, but he didn't buy it yet. He picked it up, ubirer, and he's looking at it, v'niach, and he puts it on the side, and then he picks up another one, and he puts it on the side. Afilu kolayim kuloi, even if he does this all day, the halacha is loikana, he's not going to acquire it. Meaning, he's picking up these vegetables with the intention of buying them, but He didn't buy it yet. So he's being bir vehiniach, right? This one looks good, that one looks good. Let me put aside all the ones that look good. And then afterwards, I'm going to decide which ones I actually want to take. So the halach is, if he's been doing this all day, he's not koina. V'loi nischayev emeiser. And as a result, he's not chayev to be ma'aser these yerokas. If he didn't purchase them, he has no chayev to be ma'aser them. Gomar b'libay l'knoisoy, if he has in mind when he picks them up to be kind of them, kono, he is kind of them, then it's chayev b'meiser, and at that point, he's going to be chayev b'meiser. Okay, so if this person is picking up vegetables, he's looking at them, I do want it, I don't want it, and he's putting aside his little pile of vegetables that he's ultimately going to take. Or take some of. So if he didn't have in mind to be koina, so then the halacha is, he's not koina, and he's not chayiv and meiser. If he had in mind to be koina, it's all about his das, so then he's koina, and not just that, he's going to be chayiv and meiser. So the brisa continues, and the brisa says like this, once he's chayiv and meiser, lehachziro yefshar, he can't return these vegetables anymore, meaning he can't go back to the moicher and say, you know what, I'm not taking these. And the reason is, shekfar nes chayev emeiser, because he is already chayev emeiser. Being that he's chayev emeiser, at that point, you can't give the peiros back to the amoritz. And this is really based on two things, both of which are true. Number one, it's based on the fact that a chaver is not allowed to take any peiros that are not ma'usir and give it away. Can't do that. Because the assumption always is that if he takes something from a chaver, it's probably already ma'aser. So he's chayev ma'aser. He has no right now to give it away. So if you're going to not take the vegetables, remember, he didn't buy these vegetables, right? He's just looking at them. But you can't give it back. And the reason you can't give it back is based on that halacha. Over here, there's a second reason, and that is, you're a chaver, this guy's an amoritz, you know he's chashin amaisris, and being that you know he's chashin amaisris, so for sure this is something that you're not allowed to do. Now you'll tell me, if he's chashin amaisris, so he didn't do it anyway, so what would be the problem? Because you don't know, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And maybe, the bottom line is that to go ahead and to return it, is not something you're allowed to do. Okay, ula asra, yesher, to say that, you know, I don't want to take it, but at the same time, I understand that I have to be mafresh maises, that's also not an option. Because giving maise by definition means involve taking off a percentage, right? So you're going to take off 10%, you're going to return 90% of what you took. That's not something you're allowed to do. Okay, so what do you have to do? Ma'asra, it's very simple. You're mafresh ma'aser, because you can't return it without being mafresh ma'aser. V'noisen lo d'mei ma'aser, and then you make the person old, you give him the d'mei ma'aser. That is what the brisa says. Now, at first glance, what's even pashup shot in this brisa? I understand. There's a person who's in a store. He's picking up these vegetables. He wants to figure out if he's going to buy, he's not going to buy it. Ultimately, he decided that he's not taking them, or he's not taking some of them. Oh, you can't return it. You know why? Because you're chayev and meiser, and once you're chayev and meiser, you can't give something that you are maaser yet to somebody else. You certainly can't give it to an amoritz. So the brisa says, you can't return it. What do you have to do? Be mafresh the meiser. Yeah, but if you mafresh the meiser, you're only giving him 90% of what you took. No, but noisen lo yidmei meiser. What sheikh is? You didn't buy it. The teretz is it's Shmuel's halacha, right? It's Shmuel's halacha. We're talking about where the price was fixed and you picked up these yerokos amanas to maybe buy it, ubire v'hiniach, right? So it's literally like the noita klimen omen levakroi, where the halach is v'nenes b'yodoi chayiv. Why? Because you now have kinyonim in it as it relates to nichay v'noitzen. From the standpoint of the original owner, he can't be makdish because now it's already a halach of ino the makdish tovash ino shaloi. It's yours. It's yours. Yichay v'meiser. If yichay v'meiser, now you have this halach that a chaver is not allowed to take something that he wasn't ma'aser yet and give it back. That is pashup shat in this halacha. But the Gemara says, there's one thing I don't understand, and that is, what the Brisa seemed to say is, that if it was Gomra Beliba L'Knoisoi, that's when you have this issue. If it wasn't Gomra Beliba L'Knoisoi, then you don't have this issue. Now, first glance, it makes perfect sense. If you didn't pick it up, Amanas to be Koinitz, of course you're not going to have the Halacha. L'chaira, whatever this Kenyan of Shmuel is, you would think you need some level of das. But the Gemara has a follow-up question, and that is, Atu Mishum de Gama Beliba Liknois, Konov and Eschayib and Meiser, even if you had a mind to pick it up, I still don't understand why you should be Koinit and why you should be Chayib and Meiser. And the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara's Kasha is, that even if Shmuel's Gerecht, meaning you have this Halacha that Shmuel said, but at the same time, let me ask you a question. If a person walks into a store, he picks up something, Amanas to Levakroi. And it's something that the price is fixed, right? There's a little sticker on it that tells you how much it costs. And it's something that the Loikchem HaKoifzen Olel, like the Rashman says, that we know from the Dorm Lamed Aleph. Okay, he picks it up. Now if he decides that he doesn't want it, could he not return it? What, he has to be maknet back? That when he picked it up, he has some sort of kinyan in it. But I would think that if he doesn't want it, all he has to do is return it. The Rashbam says that is the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara knows Shmuel's halacha. The Gemara's not asking, not knowing Shmuel's halacha. The Gemara's asking after Shmuel's halacha. Even though Shmuel Takis said his chiddush, and that is the first part of today's daf, but at the same time, if he decided he doesn't want it and he wants to return it, so why shouldn't he have the ability to return it? I don't understand. If that's the case, why should he chayv ma'aseh? So the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Hoshea." Rav Hoshea said, "Hacha b'yarei shemayim maskinon." We're talking about someone that was a yarei shemayim, kigoin Rav Safra, not just any yarei shemayim, but on the level of Rav Safra, the kaim benafshi. Rav Safra was mekayim in himself. The following pasuk of the doiver emes bilvavoi. What does that mean? Ordinarily, people are supposed to tell the truth, right? Earlier in the week, we spoke about Midvar Sheker Tirchak. But Rav Safra held Dvarim Shabalev Havim Dvarim. He was a Vedoiver Emes Bilvavoy. If he even thought something, he went about and did it. So the Gemara is saying, you're right. Mitzad de Iker Hadin, if this person wants to now not take it, he could just return it, and it goes back to being the original owners, and whatever kinyan he had, he doesn't have anymore, and therefore he's not subject to this halacha that once I picked it up, so now already I have to be mastered, otherwise I'm not going to be able to return it to you. But in the world of Rav Safra's Yerushalmai V'doiver Emes Bovava, once you had a mind to be koined, at that point it's as if you already made a kinyan, and being that it's as if you made a kinyan, it's for that reason Yechayev and Meiser, and it's for that reason when you return it, in the words of the Rashbam, V'chi machziroi k'choizer u'moicher lo'idami, it's as if he's not returning it, but selling it to him from fresh, and it's for that reason you're going to be subject to this halacha of a chaver cannot give something, certainly not to an Am Haaretz, without being ma'aser. The bottom line is, this concludes the first portion of today's daf, which was a little bit of a discussion of Shmuel's halacha. Anoitel klimeno umen levakroi, venenas biyot echayiv. It's mavur that person that picks up this item, amanas levakroi, has some sort of kinyan in it. Just like a shoyl, just like a ganav and a gazlin, they're chayiv and oinsim because of a kinyan that they have. This person also has some sort of kinyan in this item, and it's for that reason he's going to be chayiv. There is fine print in this halacha. Our Gemara says that this is only true if it's kitzi demay. The Gemara said that three times. It has to have a fixed price. The Rashbam brings the Gemara in the Dorm Lamed Aleph that says it also has to be a davar sheloikchin koyftzen olav, something that everybody wants to acquire. What we saw is that as long as the person is holding this item, he has a kinyan in it, which, by the way, means that the real owner right now, if that other guy is holding it, doesn't have a real kinyan in it. L'may nafkimina eino de makne. Or in other matnish tovish in a shalai, stating that if this person who lifted it wants to return it, he can return it. And when he returns it, we don't see it as a new mecher, as a new akna. As long as he has it, he has a kinyan in it. But when he wants to give it back, then it's a regular giving it back. Stating that the Gemara told this braisa that's related to Dmai that got involved in Rav Safra, who was a doiver emes bovavoy. So yeah, there's some level of frumkeit which would trigger that if a person picks up something and he has a mind to buy it, even though we didn't buy it yet, if he decides to return it, so at that point, maybe we would view it as a new mecher, we would view it as a new hakna, zok de gemar. So we've been talking about midos, right? Midos as in measurements. The Mishnah that Pidal and Amidis talked about a mecher peris lechaveir and moshach v'loi modot. Madad v'loy mashach. So we have a lot about Caleb Shalikea, Caleb Shalmoichen, Asimton, Rosh Hasharab, etc., etc. So one of the themes of the last few dafin were midos. The Gemara now, over the next few dafin, is going to talk a little bit about the inyan of midos. By the way, there's going to be more agadat the Gemara, so you don't go too far in Masechtas Bava Basra without some divrei agada, without teres asoid. Either way, a very, very geshmaka second half to today's daf. Zok the Mishnah, hasitoin mikaneach midosav echad l'shloishim yayin. So the Rashbam says, who's a sitoin? A sitoin hu chenveni gadol. He's a very large chenveni. Shekoine har beyachad He takes down a lot of merchandise and then he distributes to small chenvenim. In other words, he's a wholesaler. The Rashbam, in fact, in the next Dibra Maschel, tells us the etymology of the word sitoin. Sitoin is chitin b'loshen yavam. It's a Greek word. And in Greek, sitoin means wheat. Umishum shekoina harbe chitin b'yachad kareloi sitoin. Because these people were all in the wheat business, not exclusively, as we're about to see, but being that they dealt in wheat, so anyone that was involved in this trade got known as a sitoin. But a sitoin really is a wholesaler. So the sitoin has to be mekaneach his midois, so these cups, these measuring cups. Echad l'shloishim yom, once every 30 days. So the balabayis, echad l'shneim asa chaydesh. He doesn't have to do it once every 30 days, but he has to do it once every 12 months. Now notice, we go from the sitoin to the balabayis. That's from sea to shining sea, right? The sitoin is the wholesaler. The balabayis is a mom and pop. What about someone that has a store? He's just a traditional chenveni. He's a traditional retailer. See, he's not the wholesaler. He doesn't have this huge company, but at the same time, he's not a balabai. It's not like you're knocking on your neighbor's door and asking for a measurement of sugar, right? What's the halacha of the chenvenis? The mission is going to get to that in a minute. But the sitoin is once every 30 days. The balabai is much less frequently, is once every 12 months. And Pasha, the reason is, because being that the sitoin does a lot more business, so therefore it's incumbent upon him to clean his midos more often, so he has to do it once every 30 days. The balabayis does it once every 12 months. Now, why are we cleaning these midos? Like, what are you worried about, right? So it's very simple. What you're worried about is that maybe you had some item inside of it, which, by the way, the Mishnah is going to say that everything that we're talking about now is things that relate to liquids. So these are midos that were used to measure liquids. So if you have a liquid that sits for a long time, at some point it's going to get faglivert. I think that's the Yiddish word, right? It's going to congeal a little bit. And what's going to happen is that if you're buying a mida, so you're buying a hin worth of wine, but if on the bottom you have this little faglivert substance, so what's happening is you're not going to get the full hin, because that's taking up some of the volume of this mida, and you're going to end up getting a little bit less, and you're going to get ripped off. So that's why you have to clean it. So the sitoin, who's super active every 30 days, the Baal HaBayis, how often does he sell his wine? So therefore, it's only once every 12 months. He says, no, it's just the opposite. The Svar is punk faker. He said, the sitoin is so active, so he's always pouring, and it's for that reason you never have this buildup of residue on the bottom that's going to congeal, as opposed to the balabayas, who's not so active. So to the contrary, there's more of a chashash that something will actually congeal, and it's for that reason he has to do it more often. So it's punk faker. The sitoin would be once every 12 months, because we're less worried about him. So once a year he does his annual thing. But in terms of the balabayas, he actually has to do it more often. He has to do it once every 30 days. Chenveni, he's the retailer. So what about him? Mekanech midoisa pamayim b'shabbos. He has to do it the most. He has to do it twice a week. Now, says the Rashba, bishlam, according to the Chachamim, that say that the more often that you're engaged, the more often you have to clean. So maybe the chenveni was more active than the sitoin. And as a result, whereas the sitoin is once every 30 days, the chenveni actually has to do it twice a week. But according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that it's just the opposite. The more active you are, the less it's incumbent upon you to clean. So how do you understand the chenveni that's mikanech, midoisov, Pamayim b'Shabbos? The chenveni is for sure more active. He's not less active. So the Rashbam says the Geshmak Azach. He says that the answer is really based on a Mishnah that we saw in yesterday's daf. And that is, talach is if somebody sells somebody a liquid, so you fill it up in your mita, and then you're going to pour it into the lekech's container. So you have to be mativ shloisha tipin, right? Three little tipin you have to give him. So you can't just pour it out. You have to make sure one drop, two drops, three drops, and then afterwards you're good to go. The Mishnah said the chenveni einoi chayv lahatav sholosh tipin. He doesn't have to do it. So the Rashbam says that the reason the chenveni had to be mekaneach midoisa pamayim b'shabbos, because he always had those tipin on the bottom of his midah. And it's those tipin that you're worried that are going to be congealed. So it's true that chenveni is more active. And based on Rav Shimon Gamliel's methodology, that's the reason he should have to be mekaneach less. But the flip side is he also has those tipin that are building up on the bottom. And those tipin can congeal. Again, you had to be there to fully appreciate all this, but Rashbam is saying something that's ma'id mestaber, and it's because of the tipin shabai that according to Shimon ben Gamliel, it's pamayim b'shabbos. So again, according to the Chacham, and the reason the chenveni has to do it so often is because he's the most active, and the more active you are, the more you have to be mekanech. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the reason the chenveni has to do it pamayim b'shabbos is because of the shalish tipin that built up on the bottom. Another halach, umemacha mishkal loisof pamachas b'shabbos. So the visual for this is, think of the maznayim of Chodesh El and Chodesh Tishrei fame. So think of the maznayim, and somebody's coming to buy something. So you want to buy a certain measurement. I want to buy a litra of oil. Okay, so what do you do? What you do is you had a weight, the moicher did, and he put the weight, which weighed a litra, on one side of the scale. Then you start filling up oil on the other side. And as soon as it evens out, so you know you have yourself your litra. So the mishkal are the weights that were used by the moicher. So it says the Mishnah that the owner of the mishkal had to clean the mishkalos once a week. And again, it's the same chashash, that if the weights are going to get greasy, there may be a little buildup of residue on them, which is going to therefore artificially change what the weight really is and the way it's presented. And it's for that reason. Another halacha, umikaneach moiznayim al kol mishkol umishkol. As it relates to the actual moiznayim, meaning the actual cup where you're putting, not the weight, but where you're putting the thing that you're buying, that had to be cleaned. I'll call mishkal umishkal. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel said, everything that we just mentioned in the Mishnah, the midos as relates to the sita and the balabayas and the chenveni, and the mishkal and the maznayim, this is all true. Belach. It's all true when you're trading in dvarim lachim. But if you're dealing in dry items, that's not something you have to worry about. What's the definition of lach and yovesh? So if you look at the last line of Rashbam, b'davar lach, you're going basar, meat is a davar lach. Interesting. V'yayin, v'shemen. And what's a davar yovesh? Peiros, cumin, u'pilpilin. Either way, everything that we said in our Mishnah is negei advarim lach, and it's not negei advarim yoveshim. V'chayv lach ria loy tefach. Another halacha. When a person sells something to somebody and you're using the mishkal and you're using the maznayim, you always have to tip the scale in favor of the buyer one tefach. So you don't wait until it's even. You make it a little uneven. Uneven in favor of the lekech. So you want to give him a drop more than what the weight is showing. Let's say you weren't being machriyed a tefach, but rather you're doing it perfect. So then you would have to make it up in another way. Now, the Rashbam speaks out what's going to be mavur in the Gemara. It's almost hard to read the Mishnah. You have to be machriyed a tefach. Let's say you didn't do it. Let's say you didn't do it. It's not optional. If you have to do it, you have to do it. Right? You have to be machriya the tefach. You have to make sure that the side of the food is going to be a little bit lower. Right? It's being machriya the tefach. Let's say you didn't. Okay, so you write him a check. Right? You make it up in some other way. But I thought you have to do it. So the Rashbam says that really it's mekoymos mekoymos yesh. It's totally in the minigam makim. If the minigam makim was to be machriya, then you have to be machriya. And really what the Mishnah is saying is that if the minigam makim is lahachriya, then chayav lahachriya loy. Tefach. That's the point of the Mishnah, and that's really the punchline. Mishnah's not telling you chayv lachriel. The Mishnah is saying, if the minig is lahachriya, then chayv lachrieloi, and how much? A tefach. But let's say the minig is not to be machriya, so then you don't have to be machrieloi tefach. Stating that, you have to give him some gerumim. What's the gerumim? Echad la'asara b'lach, 1/10 for a lach, echad la'asram v'yavish, 1/20 v'yavish. The Gemara is going to get into what exactly this means. Makin shenagu lamed bedaka l'yamud begasa. If the minig is to measure with something small, like a smaller utensil, don't use a big one. Begasa l'yamud bedaka. If the minig is to use a big one, don't use a small one. Limchaik. If the minig is, if you're buying something to smooth out the top, then you shouldn't make it a heap. If the minig is ligdosh, then you should not smooth it out. How do we know this? So how do we know what? We just said a lot of things in the Mishnah. So it's going to the top line of Amud Beis. That's what the Gemara in the Habamina thinks. The Gemara is trying to figure out. So the Mishnah said, V'chayiv l'achriya lo tefach, says the Gemara, Minan immediately, what's the source to this? Amar Eish Lakish, Eish Lakish said, Amakra, it's learned out from a pasuk in the Torah. It says, Even Shlema v'tzedek yielach. Even Shlema v'tzedek yielach. The end of the pasuk is, Eifa Shlema v'tzedek yielach, L'man yarichu yomecha l'adam asher Hashem alikecha noyselach. So these are psukim, or it's one pasuk really, that we're going to get more familiar with over the coming daffin. But for now, the pasuk is saying that all your mishkalos and all your measuring utensils, they all have to be perfect, right? They can't be rigged. You have to make sure that they're good. So Reish Lakish Darshan, it says like this, Even Shlema V'Tzedek. The word Tzedek seems to be superfluous. Even Shlema. Yeah, it has to be full, it has to be complete. Obviously, it has to be righteous. So what does that mean? You know what Tzedek means? Tzedek Mishalcha V'Teimlai. What the Torah is saying is that when you use this Even Shlema, which obviously you have to use, on top of that, not Tzedek. Vitzadek, you should go ahead and be like a tzadik, be righteous, and you should give him a little bit more. And this is the makar v'chayv la'achriya le'tefach. So it's in the context of the Evan, this mishkal. Make sure you give him a little bit. But the Gemara says, "Yochei ba'azoy ema sefer." How do you read the sefer? Oh, you shoykel le'ayin ba'ayin. Noisam le'geirumin. From the sefer was mavuron. We spoke to that in the Mishnah. That really you don't have to be chayv la'achriya le'tefach. Right? What does it mean v'chayv la'achriya le'tefach? If the minhag amokim is to be machriya chayv la'achriya le'tefach, but you saw from the next words because it said, "Hoyu shoykel le'ayin ba'ayin." Then make him whole another way. Now, if you're going to tell me that this, then then what do you mean if you decided to do it in another way? You don't have an option to do it in another way. You have to say, really, there's no chi of lahachriya. And when it says v'chayv la'achriya le'tefach, it means b'mokim shenagu. And what the Mishnah is saying is that if the minig amokim is to do it, yeah, then you have to go with the minig amokim. And what's the amount that you have to be machriya, you have to be machriya tefach. Okay, so what then did Reish Lakish mean when he said Evan Shlema v'tzedek tzedek mishalcha v'tein levichid? But Reish Lakish has sefer. He was going on the sefer. The sefer said hoyeshak le'ayin ba'ayin noisun le'geirumin. That even if the minhag amakim is not lachriya le'tefach afilu hachi, still you have to give him a little bit extra. And for that he said menani mili. What's the makar? Reish Lakish damar kav v'tzedek tzedek mishalcha v'tein loy. So Reish Lakish is not commenting on the reisha of the chayav lachriya le'tefach. But he's commenting on the sefer of Hoyo Shoykolei Ayin Ba'ayin Noisin Loi Geirumen. And what Reish Lakish is saying is that even if the minhag amakim is not to be machriya, you always have to give him a little bit extra because that's a din d'oraisa. So it's not a din d'oraisa to be machriya. V'haraya, it's only b'makom shenagu that you have to be machriya. What isn't in Deiraisa is they always have to give him a little bit extra, and that's the part of the Mishnah that Reish Lakish was commenting on. He was commenting on the part of the Mishnah that says, Hoyo Shoykolei Ayin Ba'ayin, meaning even if it's not the minhag, still you have to give him? The answer is yeah, because that's based on the Din Deiraisa. So again, Din Deiraisa, you always have to give him a little bit more. Does that mean Chayev Lachriya? Like, no, there's another way you could give him more. Give him more in the Noisan Le'Geirumin way. Okay, says the Gemara, V'kama Geirumin. What is the Geirumin? Now, the Mishnah said, right, what did the Mishnah say? Echad la'asar b'lach, v'echad la'esrim b'yavish. But when the Gemara is asking v'kama Geirumin, the Gemara wants to know what does the Mishnah mean. It's a little bit ambiguous. Amar Rab Abba Bar Mamel, Amar Rav, echad me'asar b'litra, Belach la'asar b'litrin. Now, if you read the Mishnah, it sounds like echad la'asar b'lach. It means 1/10 of whatever it is when it comes to lach, and echad la'asar b'yavish, 1/20 when it comes to yavish. So said Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel, quoting Rab, that's not what it means. What it means is 1/10 of a litra belach to the extent that you're buying 10 litrin. So if you're buying 10 litrin, then it's going to be 1/10 of a liter, which is the equivalent of 1/100. So really, it's 1/100. I am Barashbam, who does the very easy math. But the bottom line is, it's not 1/10, which is what it sounds like from the Mishnah, Echad La'asar B'lach, but rather it's 1/100. Echad La'asar B'lach, Echad La'asar B'yavish, V'chul Iba Yiluhu, the B'nei Shiva had a Shailo. Meaning, even after Rav explained what the Mishnah means, not a tenth, a hundredth, but they weren't sure how to read the next part of the Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah says, V'echad La'asar B'yavish, Heichi Kamar. How are you supposed to read it? Echad Me'asar B'lach, La'asar delach, the echad may esrim biyavish la'esrim biyavish. Meaning, we just said echad la'asar belach means 1/100. Okay, so maybe when we say the echad may esrim biyavish, what it means is la'esrim biyavish. It's 1/20 of yavish when you're buying 20 litrim of yavish. So if you're buying 20 litrim, then you're going to give 1/120, which essentially is 1/400 of what it is you're buying. Just like the 1 out of 10, as it relates to lach, the way we taiched was 1/10 when you're buying 10. So too, the echad me'asrim b'yavish, the way you taich is 1/20 when you're buying 20, which is the equivalent of 1/400. Or Dilma, maybe the way you're supposed to read it is echad me'asara la'asara delach, Ula esrim diyavish. It's 1/10 of 10 lachs, and it's 1/10 of 20 yavishes. So when you're buying 20 yavishes, it's not 1/20, but rather it's 1/10. So if it's 1/10 of 20 yavishes, so it's 1/200. So the question is the shear of yavish 1/400, or is it 1/200? And the crux of the question is, echod la'asar belach, we said means 1/10 when you're buying 10. Right, it's as if the word asara is tarte b'mashma. It's echad la'asara 1/10, and it's echad la'asara when you're buying 10. So the word asara is really playing two roles. It's wearing two hats. It's 1 out of 10, and it's 1 out of 10 when you buy the 10. What does it say? The echad la'esrim b'yavish. So is it the same thing? The esrim is wearing two hats. It's 1/20 when you're buying 20. That's the first side, in which case it would be 1/400. Or maybe the esrim of the echad la'esrim b'yavish is just in terms of how many you would have to buy for the shear to be echad la'asara, which is what it said by lach. Bottom line is, the Gemara says, teiku, Amar Rab Levi, three divrei agada that today's daf is going to end with. The punishment for someone that is nichshol in gzeila is more chamor than the punishment for someone that's nichshol in arayis. Now, I'm saying the word gzeila, but I'm using that word loosely, because really the literal translation of Levi's words are kasha oinchen shel midos. We're talking about someone that is guilty of averis related to midos, the sugyas that we're learning right now. And Levi said, or Reb Levi said, Kosh Unchin Shal Midois, Yoisemi Unchin Shal Arise. Now, what's his makar to that? Chezen Nemar Bohen El, Vizen Nemar Bohen Ela. So, as it relates to the parish of Arias, it says, Kies Kolatoy Evois Ho El, also Anchi Oris Ashaluf Nechem, Batitma Ha Oris. Tar uses the word El, referring to the Arias. It's Kolatoy Evois Ho El. When it comes to Midois, the Torah says, Ki Toyavas Hashem Eloi Kecho, Kol Oise Ela, Kol oisnei ovel. Eile is a little more sharp than ale, has an extra hay, and that's how Reb Levi knew that kosher oinchin shel midos, where it says eile, me oinchin shel arayis, where it only says ale. But the Gemara says, "Omai mashma the high ale kosher," meaning if ale versus eile somehow symbolizes kosher, that means the word ale, the shayrish of it, must mean kasha. How does he know that? It says a pasuk, ves elei ha'aretz lakach, pasuk in Malachim, that they kidnapped all the elei ha'aretz. It's referring to all the strong people. So the word ale means strong. By the way, even the shem Hashem of kale is related to this idea of elei ha'aretz. It's related to strength. That's the connotation of that of the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the bottom line is that ale, it's kasha, ale, it's kasha, but ale has the extra hay. Mashma, it's more kasha. So kasha oinchin shal midos, yoisem me oinchin shal arayis. But the Gemara asks a kasha and says, gabe arayis nami hoksiv eile. By arayis, it also says the word eile. Ki es kol asher yasem mikol atoy evois ho eile. V'nichus wa nefashis ha'oises mikerev amom. It says the same word eile by arayis as it says by midos. So the Gemara says, nah, hulamute midos mikores. That pasuk is in the context of kores. I would have thought that midos are included in the parsha of kores. By the way, why would you have thought that midos are included in the parasha of Karis Mechatesi? The reason is because, what does the Torah say? Ki chol ashe yasa mikol ha-toyevo yisoelo. If you do toyevo, you chay of Karis. The Torah refers to someone that's guilty of midos as doing a toyevo. Ki toyevas Hashem alekecha kol oyseela, kol oyseava, the pasuk that we just read. So I would have thought he's included in that. So the word eila doesn't mean miloshin shtarkai. That's not the purpose of that pasuk. The purpose of that is to teach me that Daf can hear this chorus. So by Arayas is chorus, but by Midas there's no chorus. But the Gemara says that if that's the case, then I understand. So you're telling me kosha oinchin shel Midas may oinchin shel Arayas. And then in the same breath, in the cheshbon of the Gemara, what emerged was is that if someone's nichshol in Arayas, he's chayv chorus, and if you nichshol in Midas, he's not chayv chorus. So I don't know. It sounds like oinchin shel Arayas is more chomer than oinchin shel Midas. So the Gemara says no. The hasem efshe betshuva v'achalei efshe betshuva. Someone that's nichshol in arayis, do tshuva. But someone that's nichshol in midos, loy efshe b'tshuva. Now, Rishpam says it doesn't mean you can't do tshuva, but it's harder to do tshuva. And the reason is because a gazlan can only do tshuva if he does v'heshev etzakzeh l'ashe gazal. And if you're someone that had a store and you were constantly being dishonest, so now if you're going to do tshuva, you're going to have to do tshuva with the whole rabbin. And that's not such an easy thing to do. So the tshuva is much more difficult. And the Rishpam says, even though there's a gemara that says that if somebody steals from the rabbin, you should do community service, do tzarchei rabbin. But that's a b'dieved. the end of the day, it's not the perfect kiyum of the heishavas gzeila shagazal, and that's what Rav Levi was referring to. Kasha oinchin shal midas yoisem yoinchin shal arayas. It's mitzad the tshuva shabai. To do tshuva on arayas, you do tshuva. It's a ben adam lamakim. But to do tshuva on gzeila on oinchin shal midas, being that it's a ben adam lechaver, right? So you need to do the heishavas gzeila shagazal, and that's very challenging to do if you were taking from the rabbim. That's what Rav Levi was referring to. I'm Rav Levi. Another thing, Rav Levi said, kasha gezel hedid yoisem gezel gavaya. It's more chamer to steal from hedid than it is to steal from gavaya. And the makar is because when the Torah talks about gezel of hedyet, it mentions the word chet and it mentions the word me'ila. But it says first chet, then me'ila. When the Torah talks about gezel from hektish, it mentions chet and me'ila, but it mentions first me'ila and that chet. And that's a raya that kosher gezel hedyet yoiser mi gezel gevoya. If you take a look at the Rashbam says, just pasha pshat, what does this even mean? It says four lines from the bottom. Dibra maskul gezel hedyet. Hiktem by chet la me'ila. By Gezel Hedyet, first it says Chet, then it says Me'ilah. D'chsev nefesh ki secheta, u'mal u'mal b'Hashem, v'kichesh b'amisoy. So this is in the parasha of Hashem Gezelois. But it says first Chet, and then Me'ilah. What does this mean? Miyad hascholas ha-Gezel, and that's Mishas Kfir. We see from that the minute a person denies having somebody else's thing, he's a Kofer b'pekadon, so to speak, at that point, immediately he's a Chayte. Even before he had any me'ilah. Me'ilah means hana. So even before he had hana, he's already considered a chayte. But the gabi hektish, the simol mal, the chata b'shkago. First it says me'ilah, then it says chet. The ena nikra chayte achanene. You actually have to be nene in order to be chayte. So to be a gazlan from hedyet, you don't have to be nene. To be a gazlan from hektish, you have to be nene. So you see that it's easier to be a gazlan from hedyet than from hektish. Oh, must be because it's more chamer. Kosher gezel hedyet, yoisim mi gezel gavayv. Amar Rav Levi. The third thing, and that is Boyure. Shloikim in this Kaddish Baruch Hu, midas basav adam. Mit a Kaddish Baruch Hu berich Yisrael be'esem v'shtayim. A Kaddish Baruch Hu, when he was mevarich Yisrael, so he gave Klal Yisrael the brachas be'esem v'shtayim with the 22 oisias of the Torah. V'kilam b'shmoina. But when it came time to be mekalel, he was only mekalel the yidin with 8 oisias. What does this even mean? So the Gemara says that we know that you have the parsha of the brachas and the klalos in two places in the Torah. You have it in parshas Bechukaisai, and you have it again in parshas Kisavai, which incredibly, of course, is this week's parsha, and we're learning Shabbos is daf right now. But the bottom line is, you have the klalos, and really the brachas and the klalos, sai in parshas Bechukaisai, and sai in parshas Kisavai. Parshas Bechukaisai, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's talking. It's the brachas and the klalos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Parshas Kisavai, it's Mishneh Torah, it's Moshe Rabbeinu talking. And as a result, it's really coming from Basav Adam. So Rav Levi is making an observation, and he's saying, if you look at some of the nuance between the brachas and the klalos of the Chukaisai and the Mishneh Torah, you're going to see a difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Beirach Yisrael Be'esrim V'shtayim V'kilvam B'shmoyna Beirachim Be'esrim V'shtayim V'im V'chukaisai V'ad K'memiyos. So where did the brachas and parshas B'chukaisai begin? The beginning of the parasha. Im B'chukaisai Teilechu. That's an aleph. Where does it end? The last pasuk is V'eshbar Moitois Ulchem V'oileich Eschem K'memiyos. And then the next pasuk is already the Teichecha. So it starts with an aleph and ends with a tough. So the brachas is from Aleph until Tav. Of the Kilam, the Shmoyna, because where did the Klalos begin? Mi Ve'im B'chukaisai Temasu. Ad, and where do they end? The S, Chukaisai Go'alo Nafsham. So the first Pasuk of the Toichacha in B'chukaisai Temasu. The last is several Pesukim later. That's Chukaisai Go'alo Nafsham. It starts with a Vav, and it ends with a Mem, and that's only 8 Oisiyas. So the Brachis is with a Meloich Afnayim. It's from Aleph until Tav. The klalos is only from a vav until a mem. Vila Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to Moshe Rabbeinu, Birchem b'shmoyne v'kilam b'asim v'shtayim. It was just the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the bracha with 8, and he gave the klalos with 22. Birchem b'shmoyne, the bracha is b'shmoyne. Because how did the brachas begin? V'hoye im shemaya tishma. It starts with a vav. V'ad, and where does it end? The last pasuk is, l'leches achreli him acherim la'avdon. With an enderman. If it killed on the Esrim Vishtayim, but the Klola was Esrim Vishtayim, because how did the Klola begin? It's the next Pasuk, Vahoya Imloy Sishma. It starts with a Vav, and how does it end? It's Ad In Koina. It ends with a Hey. It's a Vav until Hey. It's not Aleph to Tav, but it's the equivalent thereof. It's from the Vav until the Hey. It runs the gamut of all 22 Oisnes, and as a result, says Rav Levi, the third and final observation, and that is, Boyu Re'esh Eloi Kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basav Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beirach Yisrael Be'eser Mishnayim V'Kilvam B'Shmoyna, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu was Bircham B'Shmoyna V'Kililon Be'eser Mishnayim. So, Dover Be'itay Ma'atayv. It's Parshas Kisavai. Parshas Kisavai is the parasha of the Teichacha, but it's really the parasha of the Brachos and the Klalos. And the Gemara here in Bava Basra, Daf Peches Amud Beis, makes a fascinating observation between the two places in the Torah where you have the Brachos and the Klalos, namely Torah's Kayanim, which is Parshas Bechukaisai, and Mishnah Torah, which is Parshas Kisavai. In the Brachos of Bechukaisai, the Brachos start with an Aleph, and they end with a Taf. The Klalos start with a Vav, and they end with a Mem. And the Gemara says that the Hergish is that the Brachos are from Aleph to Taf, Chaf Beis Oisius. As opposed to the Klalos, it's only B'Shmoyna Oisius. It starts with a Vav, and it ends with a Mem. As opposed to Mishnah Torah, the Brachos start with a Vav and end with a Mem. The Brachos are B'Shmoyna Oisius, whereas the Klalos start with a Vav, and they end with a Hey, which is all 20 Torahs, meaning it's a full cycle of the Chaf Beis Oisius. And the Gemara's Hergish is, Boyu Re'esh Eloikim Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basav Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beirach Yisrael Ve'esrim V'shtayim V'kilam V'shmoyna, as opposed to Basav Adam, it was Mamish B'diuk HaHepach, it was Mamish Punk Fakert. Now obviously, the Gemara is a little bit Eino Yomer Ela Dershuni, because it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave brachas, he gave it with the whole Shleimus. When it came to Klalos, he was Mamayit to Klalos a little bit. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he had a whole different ruach when it came to him going about it. He gave the brachos only with 8 oisius, and the Klalos he gave with Chav Beis oisius. Rashbam says, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Rachamon Ubirchosoi Meruba Mikilolosoi. Aval Adam Kilolosoi Meruba Mibirchosoi. Very, very sosom, very tzarech beer. So in the Torah from the Chassam Sofer, there's a dover nifla in terms of explaining a little bit of the pneumius of this Gemara. But I just want to be mocked in one thing, and this is Ray that we've spoken about in the past, but the aim based medrash b'loi chiddush. It's mavur in the Gemara that the toichacha of Parshas Kisavai was really Moshe Rabbeinu's chiddush, right? Meaning, if Moshe Rabbeinu was saying what he's supposed to say, then it's all Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyways. But it sounds like there's some interpretation of Basav Adam, in the words of Rab Levi, in the Toichacha of Parshas Kisavai. Hence the observation, Boyu Re'e, Shaloika Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basav Adam. The truth is, there's another Gemara that says this Meforish. It's a Gemara Masechtas Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. The Mishnah over there says that you're not allowed to be mafsik. You can't make a hafsaka during Kriyas HaTorah, during the Toichacha. Amr Abaya said, Lo Yishanu, that's only true, B'Klolei Shebe Teiras Kayanim, regarding the Toichacha of Teiras Kayanim. Parshas Bechukaisa, Ava Klolei Shebe Mishnah Teirah Poisek. But if you want to make a Havsaka during the Klolei of Parshas Kisavai, that's something that you are allowed to do. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? So the Gemara says like this, Halolu, because the Toichacha of Parshas Bechukaisa, B'Loshin Rabin Mamurois. All the Klolei was said B'Loshin Rabin. U'moshem Yipi Agvura Amram. And when Moshe Rabbeinu said it, he said it mipi agvura. But halalu, as it relates to the klalos of Mishnah Torah, b'loshin yachid amurois, they're all b'loshin yachid. Take a look at the psukim. U'moshe mipi atzman amram. And Moshe Rabbeinu said them mipi atzman. And being that Moshe Rabbeinu said them mipi atzman, so it's for that reason that they're different. And being that they're different, so therefore, if you want to be mafsik, so over there, that's something you're allowed to do, and you will be allowed to be mafsik. Now, Tosfos speaks out here in Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph on the base, Moshe me'atzmo yomim. Don't think that this was like Moshe Rabbeinu's own chiddush, but Tosfos says, Uberuach HaKodesh. Avada, what he said Beruach HaKodesh. But this is a Gemara, and really a second Gemara, Bava Basra Peches on the base, and Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph on the base, that there's a major distinction between the Klolois, in our Gemara, it's the Brachis and the Klolis of Teiras Kayanim versus Mishnah Teirah. Number one, the Aleph Tetav, Chav Beis Oisius, Shmoyin Oisius, that's Bava Basra Peches on the base. Over here, it's Lashon Rabin versus Lashon Yachid. Additionally, over here, it's Moshe mipi atzmon mefurish, as opposed to Moshe mipi akvor. But we mentioned in the past that really this distinction between Parshas Bechukosai and Parshas Mishneh Torah, it's really rooted in a more fundamental distinction that you have between the first four Sforim of the Torah versus Mishneh Torah. And just to give a shout out now to Ali Sharf, Reb Ali Sharf, now that he's about to be a Mechabes Sfarim. So there's a Sefer coming to Sfarim stores near you, where Ali just wrote a Sefer where he's going through with incredible nuance different chilukim that you find between Mishneh Torah and the first four Sfarim in the Torah, regardless. So this is something that's coming. But there's a fundamental difference between the first four Sfarim in the Torah and versus Mishneh Torah. And it's Yodua that the Dubna Magid, in the Sefer Oyel Yaakov, this is in Parshas Dvarim, he brings that he once asked the Vilna Gaon this question, Ma ha-hevdol bein ha-Torah ha-Kedoshah v'Mishneh Torah? It's clear that this is chilukim. And he asked the Vilna Gaon this question, but Omar li, this is what the Gaon said, Ki arba svarim arishoinim hayu nishma mipi ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmoy derech groinoy shal Moshe. The first four Sfarim, when Klai Yisrael heard what Moshe Rabbeinu said, it was Shechina medaberes mitoich groinim. Loi keit Sefer Dvarim, as opposed to Sefer Dvarim, hoy Yisrael shoinim es divrei ha-Sefer hazeh, kash shomur divrei ha-Navi. They even heard Moshe Rabbeinu talk the way they heard other Nevi'im talk. Nervous, Moshe Rabbeinu heard what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, and he repeated them to Klai Yisrael. So the first four Sfarim is Moshe talking, but he's only the conduit. It's really Shechina medaberes mitoich groinoy shel Moshe, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu was a klatpeh. That's what the Dumna Magid is talking about in that shtickle. As opposed to Mishneh Torah, Mishneh Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over the Nevuah, the same way Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu, Yecheskel, all the other Nevi'im would say over their Nevuahs. But the point is already a Yesoidus Diganaf Gemina between the first four Svarim and Mishneh Torah. The first four Svarim are Shechina medaberes mitoich groinoy. There's no Moshe. As opposed to Mishneh Torah, there is a Moshe. There's another Mahalik from that. Barbanel, Reb Shmuel Yankif, in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, has a long arichas on this inyan above my pay grade. But the point is, this is a very, very intense subject. But the point is that this that you find that the klolos shebe Mishneh Torah are different than the klolos shebe Torahs Koyanim. Shloik midas Hakadosh Baruch Hu midas basav adam. Moshe mipi atzmoy amram. The hezbah advarim is based on what the goyim told the Dubna Magid and based on some of the raid that you find in the Abar Benel. But regardless, what emerged is that Moshe Rabbeinu for some reason decided to be a little bit harder on the Jews than Hakadosh Baruch Hu was. And like we said, this is something that's oinei oinei. So the Hilgich Sam Sofer in a bunch of places in the Sfarim, he said the pshat's like this. It's Yudu that the Ramban says in his Pirush Al HaTorah and Parshas Bechukosai that the klolos of Parshas Bechukosai are references to all the tzaris that the Yidden endured during the first Golos that they went into. It was during the tzaris of Churban Bayis Rishon, as opposed to the toichacha of Mishneh Torah, the toichacha of Parshas Kisavai. Those were the tzaris and the klolos that the Yidden were going to have to endure as a result of the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. And if you look at the Ramban says Dvarim Niflam Adlamoy. It's not Shayach in the Welt. And by the way, if you take a look at Reb Shmuel Yankim and Zeis Liakim and Parshas Kisavai, he builds on this and he says Dvarim Niflam Adlamoy. In terms of Chilukim, distinctions between the Teichacha. Again, the Teichacha is not something you usually learn. But if you sat down and you rolled up your sleeves and you learned up the two parishes of the Teichacha, they're completely different. It's fascinating. And the Ramban says that if you want to understand the difference, he says, I'm telling you the Mafteach right now. He says the first is related to Churban Bayis Rishon, the second is related to Churban Bayis Sheni. In fact, his Lashon is, as it relates to the first Teichacha, V'chol Elu Remazim Ki'ilu Yaskir B'Feirish Inyan Galusein Uzev Ha'agula Mimenu. It's as if it's Mefurish. It's as if it's literally Mefurish. That line, by the way, is not Churban Bayis Rishon. It's talking about Churban Bayis Sheni. He says, look at the Tzoris that we have today. You see it all in the Teichacha. It's mamish right there. It's Ki'ilu Yaskir B'Feirish Inyan Galusein Uzev. But said the Chassam Sofer, so what comes out is that the first Teichacha was what? The first Teichacha was Churban Bayis Rishon. The second Teichacha was Churban Bayis Sheni. So the Chassam Sofer said the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shvichas Damim. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. He says, says Chazal says in Eschinim is more chomer than Avodah Zarah Gila Raya and Shvichas Damim. And he says that's why the Toichach of Mishneh Torah is more chomer than the Toichach of Torah's Kain. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu had an iron ra, and it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted it to be worse. He said the reason the Toichach of Mishneh Torah is Chof Beis Oseus, and in Torah's Kainim it's only Shmoina Oseus, because for Avodah Zarah Gila Raya Shvichas Damim there's a Toichach of Shmoina Oseus. But for a Toich, for a Veir of Sinas Chinam, that already there's going to be a Toichacha of Chav Beis Oseus. And he said, that is the whole difference. And the emes is, with this Chassam Sofer, the Gemara Mamish lights up, just the Daf Yomi that we just learned. Chassam Sofer doesn't say this, but it's partially he meant this. Because the Gemara brought three memories that Rab Levi said. Amr Rab Levi, Kosha Oinchen Shal Midois, Yoisem Mi Oinchen Shal Arayis. Amr Rab Levi, Koshal Gezel Hedyit, Yoisem Mi Gezel Gavoya. From Rav Levi, the Toichach of Mishneh Torah is more kosher than the Toichach of Teiras Kayan. What does the third member of Rav Levi have to do with the first two? L'chayra, ma'inyin shmita, eitzal har Sinai. The Teret says it's all the same inyan. Because the insight of why the Toichach of Mishneh Torah is more chomer than the Toichach of Lichu Kaisai, it's related literally to these memories. It's because Kosha Unchen Shal Midas Yoisami Unchen Shal Arayas. And it's because Kosha Gezel Hedid Yoisami Gezel Gavoy. But that's the Torah, the Chassam Sofer. If you look at the Chassam Sofer inside, just one Marim Makim, it's Mamash Kedai to see it. It's a little bit of a hard piece, otherwise we'd go through it together. But it's in Ches Tevis Drush Dalid, the end of the drasha where he talks about this Indian. He says over there some incredible things regarding the Gemara Masech the Shabbos Taf Lamed Aleph and Perek Pamem Adlikin. Maybe we'll get to that another day. But Al Kaponim, this was the Hezbro of the Chassam Sofer, and he says this in multiple places. This is the Vart. The Vart is that the Toichacha of Bichu Kaisai is Churban by Yisrishayim. That's been Adam Lamakim. The Toichacha of Parshas Kisavoy, that's Churban by Yisheni, and Churban by Yisheni, that's Sinas Chinam, and Sinas Chinam is more chamor, and it's for that reason, being that it's more chamor, that we have over here this chomer that manifested itself. It's not chalila that Moshe Rabbeinu had an ayin ra, but the yisoid adavar is the way that we just mentioned it right here. But just to end with one very, very interesting story that I heard this summer from Rav Moshe Weinberger in Tribeca. He said over, he read it. It was an article that was written by Rabbi Shlomo Riskin. It's a maisa about the Kloizenberger Rebbe, V'davar Be'itay Matay. So this is Rabbi Riskin writing. I had never been to this particular shul before. This renovated hospital turned into a synagogue about 2 miles from where I grew up in Brooklyn. Nor had I ever prayed with Chassidim. But the Kloizenberger Rebbe was particularly well known as a saintly Chassidic Rebbe who had resettled with those of his Chassidim who survived the Holocaust in and around Bedford-Stuyvesant. And so, one summer morning in 1952, on the Shabbat of Kitavo, I set out from my home on Hart Street to the world of black gabardines and round fur hats, eager for the opportunity to be in the presence of a truly holy man and to experience a Hasidic prayer service. Now, the Torah reading of Kitavo is punctuated by 53 verses known as the Toichacha, which catalog the punishments in store for Israel when they forsake God's teachings. Quote, if you don't obey the Lord your God and all his commandments and statutes, then these curses shall come upon you, dot, dot, dot. God will smite you with, dot, 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 a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword, dot, dot, dot. God will turn your rain into dust and it will come from the skies to destroy you, dot, dot, dot. And your corpses shall be meat for all the birds of the sky and for the beasts of the earth. God will smite you with madness and blindness and a confusion of the heart. God will bring a nation from afar against you, from the end of the earth, swooping like an eagle, a nation whose language you don't understand, a haughty, arrogant nation which has no respect for the old nor mercy for the young. It's easy to understand why the Jewish custom mandates that these verses be read in a low voice. The Toich is not something we're very eager to hear. But if we have to hear it as part of the Torah cycle, then the hushed words without the usual dramatic chant are shocking. I arrived at the huge study hall even before the morning service began. And although I was the only pre-bar mitzvah boy in the congregation not wearing a black gabardine, I felt swept up by the intensity of the people praying, swaying and shouting, etc., etc. Then came the Torah reading. In accordance with the custom, the Torah reader began to chant the Tochacha in a whisper. And unexpectedly, almost inaudibly but unmistakably, the Yiddish word hecher came from the direction of the lectern, upon which the Rebbe was leaning at the eastern wall of the shul. The Torah reader stopped, reading for a few moments, the congregants looked up from their Bibles in questioning and even mildly shocked silence. Could they have heard their Rebbe correctly? Was he ordering the Torah reader to go against time-honored custom and chant the Toichacha out loud? The Torah reader continued to read in a whisper, apparently concluding that he had not heard what he had thought he heard. And then the Rebbe banged on his lectern, turned to face the stunned congregation, and cried out in Yiddish with a pained expression on his face and fire blazing in his eyes. I said louder, read these verses out loud. We have nothing to fear. We've already experienced the curses. Let the master of the universe hear them. Let him know that the curses have already befallen us. And let him know that it's time for him to send the blessings. The Rebbe turned back to the wall, and the Torah reader continued slowly chanting the cantillation out loud. I was trembling, with tears pouring down my cheeks, my body bathed in a sweat. I had heard that the Rebbe lost his wife and 11 children in the Holocaust, but refused to sit shiva for them, because he cannot spare even a moment from the task of trying to save Jewish lives by enabling them to leave Europe. He himself refused a visa for America until the majority of his chassidim had been saved. His words seared into my heart. I can hardly concentrate on the conclusion of the Torah reading. Quote, it's time for him to send the blessings, end quote. After Musaf, the Rebbe rose to speak. His words were again short and to the point. But this time, his eyes were warm with love, leaving an indelible expression on my mind and soul. My beloved brothers and sisters, he said, pack up your belongings. We must make one more move. Hopefully the last one. God promises that the blessings which must follow the curses will now come. They will come. But not from America. The blessings will only come from Israel. It is time for us to go home. And so, Kiryat Sanz Kloisenberg was established in Netanya. The story is Haflavafela, and I think it's a hergish. That's Dover Be'itay Matov. I think it's a hergish that everybody feels. The Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah, that sugya that we just read from Megillah Lamed Aleph on the days, the why do we read the Toichacha in Parshas Kisavai? It's because it's right before Rosh Hashanah. And the hergish is Tichla Shana Vekilah Leisel. I don't think Klai Yisrael as a nation has had a year like this year, probably going back to the Holocaust. It's been a very hard year. It was a Rosh Hashanah Shchalias B'Shabbos, which we know historically has brought and ushered in Shveri Yaren. And without a question, Tovshin Pei Dalet qualified as such a year. But we say, Tich L'Shana V'Kil L'Yisrael. And this year we get to say it B'Keflayim, because not only are we reading the Toichacha on Parshas Kisavai, but we're learning the Toichacha on Parshas Kisavai. A bechin of Nichamu B'Keflayim, we should be Zoicha, Tichla Shana V'Kil L'Yisrael, the immortal words of the Kloisenberg Rebbe. You have nothing to fear from the Toichacha, because we've already experienced all the Toichacha. It's time for the blessings to come. It's taka time for the blessings to come. It should all be gebenched with a Ksiva V'Ksim V'Toiv and a good gemetzh, yeah.